Today on Real Radio.
Something that is normal in life for us to pause and stop and ask ourselves, is what I'm doing or living for valuable? One of the great things about being a Christian is immediately becoming a Christian, your life is valuable, your self-worth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, talent, treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
And so going through the Bible, we talk about this topic now. It's our first time in some 23 years as a church. And it's only because we've come to this topic. But I want all of you to be very keenly aware of the fact that the apostle is speaking to the Corinthians, but look, it's in the Bible, which means he's speaking, the Holy Spirit is, to all of us. And he makes argument, Paul does, of course the Holy Spirit does, that our life as Christians, as ministers of the gospel, all of us, is something of eternal value. Something that is normal in life for us to pause and stop and ask ourselves, is what I'm doing or living for valuable? One of the great things about being a Christian is immediately becoming a Christian, your life is valuable, your self-worth. Though in the world you struggled regarding that and you even asked yourself questions like, why am I here? What's my purpose in life? That is almost immediately answered when you become a Christian. And one of those great things is that everything you are and you do as a Christian is of eternal value. And there's two things as we go through these verses today that are going to, yell at you in a good way. And that is, number one, that we're only here for a brief period of time as believers. And the second thing is this, that we are to use what God has given us for that eternal purpose. So giving what's been given has been our title, and it is our title today. And just by way of introduction, I want to give you quotes by two men of God. And one most recently, Chuck Smith, in the founding of Calvary Chapel, always said that when God guides, God provides. We've all heard that in Calvary Chapel. And it's true, by the way. When God guides, that is, when he's leading, he'll provide. God will never send you into the ministry of life unable. He will provide. That's important because ministries that are unable to sustain themselves and then thus beg for money to keep the ministry open immediately tells the Bible student, the praying Christian, something's wrong. Because God calls us to what he provides for. And this is true not only in ministry, but it's true in Christian living. If we keep running in the deficit, it's probably because we got into something God didn't lead us into. And that's a painful thing for our Western world to hear, because much of America is very, very broke. I think because we developed an appetite that's greater than our ability to pay the bills, so to speak. God doesn't work like that, church. God doesn't wring his hands and he's not sweating and panicking over the deficit of the church. According to God's leading, the church is doing fine as he has defined it. But we can often get into things that, frankly, are outside the budget. But I mean not so much monetarily as I do spiritually. And so that's an important thing. The next person is Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. And he echoed, or I should say, Pastor Chuck echoed what Hudson Taylor said, and this is what he said. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Isn't that a great thing to keep in mind? So listen, that is given as a stabling factor for you. You don't need to sweat about what God is doing. In fact, in the Old Testament, the priest in Jerusalem and at the temple. You remember reading this in the book of Ezekiel? This is kind of cool. The priests were told they had to wear cotton in their armpits of their robes and cotton in their crotch area. Why, it says? Because God's priests are forbidden to sweat. Do you hear the spiritual implications of that? We are not to sweat God's work. This is awesome. Why do we say this? Because Paul is speaking now to the church at Corinth, and now it's coming down to the wire as we get into chapter 9. He's been encouraging them to step up, remember, and give because they promised to. And that it's a good thing to give because it has eternal value. And it's a good thing to give because God has given us so much. Can the church, can we say amen to that? That you and I got here today under what we think is our own power, but it was a God-given power. You and I, listen, I don't take anything for granted these days. I'm breathing right now, last time I checked. And that's by the grace of God. And we need to be appreciative people. So as we go through this, look at your Bibles, chapter 9, verse 1. And this is tough reading. The English representation of this Greek is hard reading. So bear with me here for a moment. I'm going to go slow and explain as we go and then dive into it. Verse 1. Now concerning the ministering to the saints or the service of any church to other brothers and sisters, it is superfluous, meaning today, it's a no-brainer for me to write to you. This is a given. For I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians that Achaia, you can circle the word Achaia, not to panic, it's the capital region of Corinth, Greece. So he's speaking to the Corinthian believers. Was ready a year ago, that is, they were ready to give, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet, verse 3 says, I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect. This is sweet. Let me explain in a moment. That, as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, that is the Corinthians, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. So, can I use the word cute as a man? This is so cute because Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I've boasted to the Macedonians about how awesome you guys are as a church. And so it's time now to get the supply to the hurting brothers in Jerusalem. So make sure you follow through with your promise because I sure would hate to have boasted and you not perform and make me and others look like a bunch of buffoons. He is lovingly putting the screws on them. He's going to use the word here in a moment. He's going to exhort them. And so he says in verse 5, therefore, I thought it necessary to give you a little kick. The word means to come alongside and let you have it with all love and affection. Isn't this great? It's so practical. The brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Church, jot it down. Number one, this is very cool, practical stuff. It is number one here, verses 1-2, and it's Jesus gives without reservation. Write that down. Let me explain. This stuff that he's talking about is so practical, it's almost and should be in a manual on church conduct. The reason why it's not written down is because it is a no-brainer. That's what he says at the beginning. This is given to any Christian church. What is it? Jesus gives without reservation. You say, Jack, I don't see that in the teaching. How did you get that as a point? Because Jesus is our example. Jesus is the one that gives us that which we give. You and I have never been called, as we studied last week, to give something that God didn't give us to give. This is awesome. Jesus is giving in such a way in your life, in my life, that he does so without reservation. He's not skimping on giving. And we as Christians are to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ. Our example is the very generosity of God. Now listen to this. I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago. I want to say it again in light of the generosity of Jesus and how he gives without reservation. There is that bizarre attack. It's not even a doctrine. It's bizarre. It's an attack that is out there, and I hope you have not heard of it, but a lot of people have, and they're using it, and it is this. There are people critiquing God, and they're saying that God should be indicted based upon these Christians. God should be indicted for a cosmic crime. And they say this is God's cosmic crime, that he's a child abuser. I've mentioned to you before Christopher Hitchens, who said such things. They say that God is a child abuser because they use the very foundation of our Christian hope, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And they say to us who are Christians, how did God give his son? And you happily say, Jesus went to the cross and died. And then they come back and they say to you, your God is a child abuser because God the Son was abused by God the Father on the cross. You hear that? Have you heard that stuff before? It's out there. You have. It's out there. Now watch this. To somebody who does not know God and has not read the Bible, for their bitter heart, that makes sense to them. The problem is they don't know who they're talking about because our God, listen, our God did not force Jesus to come to the cross. Jesus Christ gladly, joyfully came to the cross. The Bible says that he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. But watch this. If you don't know the Bible and if you don't know the God of the Bible, he is so generous, but he's generous with a purpose. Jesus died on the cross. Nobody can deny that. But the story is not finished because on Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. If you leave Jesus on the cross, then I understand that is a very, very sad message. But the Bible doesn't leave Jesus on the cross. Amen. Jesus was on a cross on a Friday afternoon. Jesus rose again from the grave and Jesus ascended back into heaven. The Son of God lives, and that was God's eternal plan. Why? God's generous. And the Christian should be noted to be generous. The God that we follow is generous. Now, I'm going to warn you up front. I'm going to say something soon, not yet, soon, that is going to be very, very offensive for some people, but yet I'm not the one that's going to cause the offense. The Holy Spirit will cause the offense, and I promise you, history will cause the offense. Are you with me? Okay, so now you're all nervous, and you're going to be hanging on there, but the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, concerning the generosity of God, it says, who, that is Jesus, gave, what does it say? Himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Church, who gave himself for our sins? Jesus did. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son. The Father who did not spare his own son, but remember, Jesus willfully gave himself, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you hear about the generosity of God? The Son of God has come to die for your sins and mine. Our culture wants to say there is no sin. Our culture wants to say the Bible is wrong. Listen, everything's under attack today that is godly, that is right, and that is true. We're under attack across this nation and for that matter around the world. Listen, we are not to gain the acceptance of the common wisdom of this age. We have been accepted by God through Jesus Christ, and for that we are to stand in the truth. The Bible is God's truth revealed to us. And the Bible announces that God is so generous that he gave his life at the cross that you and I might live. And that being true, listen, don't say anything. Do you believe that you have eternal life? What more could God give you? All of a sudden, see, I'm thinking now that the church in California, like the church in Corinth, ought to be a no-brainer action of giving of whatever is valuable. Remember, I told you in this series of teachings not to just think of money, but to think of energy and resources, time. All of us, God has asked us to step up and minister with Him, and it is a privilege for us to engage in that as believers. But it's very, very, very important that we understand that He's provided everything for us, and we're to manage that. I want to read something to you. This is from Alan Redpath. I love his writing. Alan Redpath says here, concerning our ministering to the saints, Jesus Christ has given us the ultimate example of love by His ready and willing sacrifice of Himself for our eternal benefit. You and I cannot fully do that for one another. It is true that Jesus said, no greater love does a man have than he lays down his life for his friend. But what we offer to our friend is a mere type or a mere symbol of that great love which has been given to us whereby he has loved us. Think of that for a moment. Jesus said, no greater love than a man has than a man lay down his life for his friends. But that very act, is it not a symbol, a type of what Jesus did for us? Someone say amen. It's true. We are to live our lives in a typology, in an action, because we've learned this from God. And my argument to you this morning is that we're to give like Jesus gave because he gave without reservation. And that's an encouraging thing. So watch this. As a believer, as a Christian church, this is one Christian church in this community. You know, we're blessed. In this surrounding area right here, there are so many churches that love Jesus Christ. It is easy. I mean, think about what's happening right now. Just over the hill is, and I'm just going to pick on Calvary Chapels. Just over the hill, there's thousands of people at Calvary Chapel Golden Springs with Raul Ries. Just down the street are thousands of believers at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley with Pastor David. Just down the freeway are thousands of Christian believers at Harvest Christian Fellowship with Greg Laurie. And you can go on and on, and how many tens of thousands of believers are in this part of Babylon, where we live. I believe whatever good is going on in this region of the world is because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the lives of believers and believers living out, following Jesus, the example that Christ gave us. And one of them is giving. Did you know last week I mentioned to you guys about helping those in the body here in this church? And you responded. Those needs that were listed are being met or have been met. And somebody might say, well, you know, this is a big church and you know, I don't know. How can I participate? Big church, big needs. If you're in a small church, you still have needs. If you're in a medium-sized church, you've got needs. If you are in a big church, you got big needs. And what we don't want to do is let others in the body of Christ be like Jesus, and we don't. We can all get involved in the ministry to the brethren, to the saints. We need to be careful. The Bible warns us in the last days about closing up shop spiritually, so to speak. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says there, Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider or provoke one another in order to stir up love and good works. Did you know we're supposed to do that? Listen, I'm going to be kind of sarcastic here in a minute. Are you ready? I feel ornery today. And you'll be the victims of it, I'm sorry. Do not forsake or not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day. Look in your Bibles, it's capital D, the day approaching, the return of Christ. Our time is limited. Watch this. Our time is limited as Christians to get involved. Okay? But there are people today like I've never seen before in my life giving up on the assembling together as a church. Well, the church is too big. The church is too small. Sounds like Goldilocks theology. The church is too middle-sized. The music's too loud. The music's too soft. There's too many hymns. There's not enough hymns. I mean, on and on it goes. Oh, listen, I love you, but put a sock in that. Listen, we're here for Him. And if we're here for Him, then we're here for them. The them are those around you. It's not about us. It's about the person sitting next to you. This is Christianity. Well, I've come to the church today, and I'm just going to evaluate it to see how I like it. Wait a minute. You're the one being evaluated. God is evaluating you. Are you discerning and listening to the Spirit of God, using the Word of God to minister to the body of Christ? One of the things he's going to tell you is, be like my son Jesus. And there are people who are saying, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I had somebody tell me, they said, I've been to Bible studies for 30 years. I stopped going to church because I can't learn anything. And by the way, the person that told me that, their life wound up or is currently in shambles. And you say, well, church can't save you. I didn't say church could save you. But the Bible commands us to get together and be one, warts and all. Do you know what I mean by warts and all? Well, there's people here that I don't like. That's Christianity. Well, that person wasn't nice to me. Welcome to the club. We're family. That's why we don't get along all the time. We're family. You know how that works? We are commanded to love each other. Isn't that funny? Why did he command us to love one another? Because I'm not going to love you, and you're not going to love me, and we have to choose to do that. It's a choice. Why do we do that? Because he so generously has loved us. He's so amazing. The Bible tells us, Paul the Apostle, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says there, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, you ought to circle the word said in Acts 20, 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that? It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you've heard that, raise your hand. Let's see. Okay, everybody's heard that. Oh, this is fun. Paul the Apostle says that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I challenge you, go to the Gospels and try to find where Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can't find the verse. It's not in there. Always read your Bible carefully. You see right here in Acts 20, 35, when Paul says that he said, see the word said? This is cool. Are you sitting down? I hope you get this. The word said in the Greek means this. It means to say something over and over again to the point where people, when they see you, they hear that word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians and the all-important topic of giving. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we're getting a lot of responses from Real Radio listeners on this series, so that's why we're making it available for you on DVD. Now, it's a 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. You know, a lot of folks, friends of the ministry and Real Radio listeners have called in saying this really is quite a valuable and biblically based treatment of this topic of, well, just that, giving. And they're sharing it with friends, family, and their local church, and that's why we're continuing to make it available just for you. So here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. I'll say that again. For your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been hearing right here on Real Radio. So call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, just ask for it by name when you write to us, Tools, Giving What's Been Given, and send it to Real Radio. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.